Okay, good morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Nun Beis, and we left off on Nun Aleph from Beis at the Mishnah, two lines from the bottom. Hanodar min acholov, mutar bakum. If someone makes a neder not to be nana from cholov, from milk, mutar bakum. He's allowed to have kum. Now, what is kum? The Ran says, kum hainu mayim ayotzim min acholov akarin l'siru. So he says that what kum is the water that comes out from milk. It's also called nesuvi de chalva. And what it's saying is, what this is talking about, there's actually a machlokas in the poskim about exactly what is kum. And when you take milk and you allow it to curdle and make cheese, so what happens is part of it becomes cheese and part of it becomes a liquid. So some understand that to be kum. Other poskim hold that what happens is if you take that liquid that comes off when you're making cheese, the liquid that you're left with, if you boil it again, if you boil it, some of that will again become cheese and the remainder is liquid. So either it's the first round liquid or the second round. This is Nogea Halacha L'maisa with question of Basar B'Cholov. If you eat, since we're learning that kum is not chalav, so midaraisa, if you have kum together with meat, then it won't be basar b'chalav. So the question is exactly what's kum. So that's brought lahalacha. Now, what's interesting is that there's a more fundamental machlokas about what kum is. So some, for example, I believe the Ravid says that kum is really curdled milk. It's not talking about the liquid that comes off cheese. It's curdled milk. And Chassam Sofer says that really what the reason for this machlokas Rishayim, why some understand that it's the liquid that comes off when you're making cheese, and some understand that it is curdled milk, they say, Chassam Sofer says it's totally in a different machlokas. We have a machlokas in Maseches Chulin that the Rishayim argue about the following thing, which is an interesting question. So we know there's a halacha of Eiver Min Achai, that you can't take an aver from a living being. And to us, it's so basic that you can have milk, but what the Rishonim deal with is the question is, how are you allowed to have milk? Why wouldn't milk be taking aver min achai, that you're taking something from a living being? And the Ramban says that, everyone agrees that the Torah excluded cholov, that basically cholov is not considered part of aver min achai. The Ramban says in Chulin that only milk is excluded, but kum, which is the stuff that, in this case, the stuff that comes off the cheese, which I believe in English we would call whey, he says the Ramban says that whey, you can't eat it. Whereas Rabbeinu Simcha Zerishon says that the exclusion that says that it's not considered Eiver Min Achai applies also to the liquid that comes off by cheese. So, therefore, according to the Ramban, that you're not allowed to eat it in the first place, then that would explain why in our Mishnah it doesn't want. And that's why the Ravid would say that it's not talking about the cheese stuff; it's talking about curdled milk, because you're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to eat whey in the first place. So of course, it's not telling you that if you're noda min acholov You're allowed to eat the stuff that comes off the cheese, because you're not allowed to eat it ever. So how could it say you can eat it? So that's why he understands it to be talking about curdled milk. Whereas Rabbeinu Simcha, who says that you are allowed to eat whey, so maybe in our Mishnah, when it says that Arnodim and Achalov is telling you that you're mutter in whey. But the Taz says, the Taz disagrees with the Chassam Sofer, and he says, even according to the Ramban, it's true you might not be able to eat it, but you could be nana from it. So it's a relevant question of Hanodim and Achalov, if someone says they're not going to have Chalov, does it include whey, whether you can eat it or not? We paskin, though, halacha l'maisa and shulchan aruch, they paskin that whey is really is part of milk, it's part of the exclusion, and therefore we have it. This is very relevant l'maisa, because if you look at ingredients on a lot of packages, you often have very very common that you have whey in there. So in any event, but so that's excluded from Eiver Min Achai. It's included in general in the category of milk. In terms of the exclusion of Eiver Min Achai. But in any event, so if someone says Nodim and Achalov, they say Chalov, they're Mutar B'Kum, they're allowed to have this Kum, whatever it is, whether it's that liquid from the cheese or it's the curdled milk, you're allowed to have it, because when people say Chalov, they don't mean Kum. Rabbi Yossi Oser. Rabbi Yossi says that you're not allowed to have kum when you're nadam or chalav, and the Gemara will talk about why. Minakum, if someone makes a neder, they're not going to have kum, mutter b'chalav, then they're allowed to have milk, presumably because when he said kum, he meant kum, and he didn't mean milk. Now, it is clear from things we're going to see a little bit later that the Ran understands Rabbi Yossi to be arguing in this case as well, in the case of kum, where he says kum, that he's mutter b'chalav. Our Mishnah doesn't say that, but clearly the Ran had a girsa either directly in our Mishnah or in a Braisa that we don't have, but that the Ran evidently had, which we'll see as we go along. But in any event, this idea, if you make a nether from chalav, it doesn't include kum. If you make a nether from kum, it doesn't include chalav, and therefore you're mutter in it. Abba Shaul says, hanoder min agvina, that someone who's noder, that they're not going to be nether from cheese, asr ba, that they're asr in cheese, bein malucho tfela, whether the cheese is salted or not. And the reason that that's a chiddush is because, generally speaking, almost all cheeses are salted. So you might think that it doesn't include tefela, but it says no. When you say gvina, it includes tefela. Some people understand that the hay in ha-gvina is lav dafka. Others come to say that the Mishnah is coming to tell you a chiddush, that even if you say ha-gvina, the gvina, and ordinarily gvina is something that is salted, in this case, whether or not it's salted, it is aser and is included in the general category of gvina. Hanodim and Abbasar, someone says that they're not going to be nana from Basar, on Amud Aleph, Numbez Amud Aleph, Mutter Berotev Uvakipa. In other words, when they say they're not going to be allowed to have Basar, they're allowed to have the Rotev or the Kippa. Rotev is like gravy. And kippa, the Ran says, Hainu dak dak shal basar sheyard l'shulek teri. This is the little pieces of meat that when you're cooking it, go onto the bottom of the, they drop to the bottom of the pot, the little, scraps of meat. That's what kippa is. So even though kippa is, Anar's rotev, gravy is not really meat, it's just gravy. But kippa is a bigger chiddush, because kippa is actually little pieces of meat, but we say that since when people say they're not going to have basar, they mean a real piece of meat. They don't mean these little things that go to the bottom of the pot, and therefore it'd be mutter in that. Rabbi Yehuda also. Rabbi Yehuda says it's aser. Again, different girsos. The Ran clearly is of has the girsa that it's Rabbi Yossi again who asers it. So an urge is consistent because the ratio, the first thing we said Rabbi Yossi, then we learned that the Ran learns the next one also Rabbi Yossi asers. Here also he's saying that Rabbi Yossi asers. Rabbi Yehuda came and said, Maisa, there's a story to support what's either Rabbi Yossi or Rabbi Yehuda's halacha. He says, Maisa was a story of Asra Leinu Rabbi Tarfon bebeitzim shenispashlu imo. That Rabbi Tarfon asr the beitzim that were cooked together with it. So what happened? That you had they cooked meat together with eggs. We see that they couldn't eat the eggs. The eggs were considered part of the meat, or so whatever status, if the meat was usr, then the eggs would be usr. And the idea here is, the raya here is that what would be the reason that the eggs are usr? The eggs are usr because the gravy, in this sense, the liquid gets into the egg. So therefore, you see that rotav is aser, because if you aser only basar, but yet it includes beitzim that were in it, it's clear that the rotav, that the gravy, comes into the egg. And this halacha is true even if the egg is in the shell. So like, for example, people sometimes, I think particularly by Sfardim, they often have a whole egg in the shell in like chalant or something. So that is considered that it's the rotav, that the gravy comes into the egg, and therefore it would be fleishiks. This is actually interesting. There's interesting questions that have to do with during the 9 days we have coming up, when we know that we don't eat meat, and the question is about the idea of. Well, actually, this is more relevant. I'm sorry, what I was going to say is relevant than the next thing in the Mishnah. So we'll do that, and then we'll get back to the 9 days. So there's this support. They say the fact that the beitzim, shenispashlu imo, that are cooked with the meat, are also usher, just like the meat. is a raya is a raya to Rabbi Yossi or Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, whichever girsa you have. Okay, so Amru Lo, so they, who was, according to the Ran, that's one of the ways we know it's Rabbi Yossi, he says to the ones, Lebali Machal Kuso Sher Rabbi Yossi, the ones who are arguing with Rabbi Yossi, they said back to Rabbi Yossi, Kena Davar, it's true, the story that you said, we're not contesting the story. In fact, Rabbi Tarfon asserted the Beitzim Senesh Bashlu, that the eggs that were cooked together with the meat, but why is that not a raya to you? Because Amosai, when did Rabbi Tarfon say his din? Bizman Sheyomer Basar Ze Alai. When he said this Basar, Shanoder Minadavar Vinisarev Ba'acher, because the halacha is if you're noder from a specific thing, meaning like a piece of meat, not a category like meat, but a specific piece of meat, then the Nisarev Ba'acher, if that meat gets mixed in with something else, Im Yeshbo Benosin Tam, if there is a Nosin Tam, generally something, if it's considered, if there isn't 60-to-1 ratio, if it's not, if it's more than 1/60th, then that's considered Nosin Tam. So he's saying as long as the meat gives a Tam, it would be Usser. So therefore he's saying that what was the case that Rabbi Tarfon said that the Beitzim are Usser was talking about a case where he said, Basar ze alai, this piece of meat. So when you're saying meat generally, we look at, on ours we know this because halak nedarim achar lashem b'nei adam. So just like we said in our Mishnah, that if you say basar, it doesn't include rotav or kippah because people don't have that in mind. So the question by nedarim is, what did people mean? But when you say basar ze alai, when you say this piece of meat, it's not a question of what do you mean. It's saying this and everything connected to it is asar. So therefore, the rotav or kippah in that case, the Tanakama would agree with Rabbi Yossi and say, if he said Basar Zeh Alai, then even the Rotav and the Kippah is Asar. So the story to Rav Tarfon is not a raya to where the guy just said, no, they're not Basar. So they argue back on that. And so this is why I started to say about the 9 days, this question of Nosin Tam, by meat, is it considered part of the thing? And this is Nagea Lemaisa during the 9 days. So the Mishnah Berurah says that if you cook something in a fleshic pot during the 9 days, that's not a problem. In other words, even though it at some level has some meat in it, that's not a problem. The Shai Tzion brings in the name of the Prima Godim that he says that in the 9 days, even if you drop a piece of meat accidentally into something, not talking about basar b'chalav, we're talking just generally because you're not supposed to eat meat. If meat gets dropped into something, even if it's more than 1/60th, unless you can really taste it, it's not really a problem. And he says that would still be mutter. In any event, Hanoder, the Mishnah continues, a similar point, Hanoder minayayin, if someone says that they're not going to have enough from wine, mutter betavshol sheyesh botam yayin, that they are mutter to have something cooked that has the tam yayin, because when he says yayin, he means the drink yayin, he doesn't mean the kind of wine that would go into a dish. Amar kainim yayin ze shanitayim. What happens if he says this wine? So the parallel case to the one by the meat, or we're going to see in a minute if it's parallel. Kainim yayin ze shanitayim v'nafal atavshol. So he says this wine, and then it fell into the tavshol. Im yesh bo benosin tam hareza aser. If it has no sin tam, it is aser. So it would seem that it was giving us two cases, one of meat, one of yayin, the way our Mishnah has the girsa. It's clear in the Ran that the Ran didn't have the word zeh. So the Ran explains that in the case of meat, the core fact was that he said basar zeh alai, and so since he was asering that piece of meat and not the category of meat generally, that's why in that case it's aser benosin tam. In the case of yayin, the Ran didn't have the word zeh, so he's understanding that it's konam yayin shani toyim. And he's saying that the chiddush, or the reason that it's stricter, and that if it goes into the tavshul, even benosin tam, it's aser, is because he says these words, shani toyim. And shani toyim includes anything that tastes like it, which would include wine that ends up inside of the dish. Okay, so you see here a very short daf and a very long run. We're not going to do the entire run, and perhaps if we have time at the end, we could come back and talk about some of the factors that are lamaisa on this. But just because it's kind of interesting, I'll tell you what it is that the Ran is grappling with in this very, very long Ran. And it's a very significant Ran for anything to do with halachas of bittul. This has a lot of practical application. The Ran brings us a number of opinions about this. But the particular question that the Ran is dealing with is the following. The question he has is the following, that we know that when something is a davar sheyesh lo matirin, that it's not bittul. So we talk here about this business that the question is whether it's nosin tam. And the question of nosin tam is that if it's more than 1/60th, then we consider it nosin tam. Less than 1/60th, it's bittul. And the Ran's question is, we know that the halacha is davar sheyesh lo matirin, something that becomes mutter later, is never bittul. Because you can make it mutter, so why on earth the halacha of bittul applies where you have no other choice? In this case, it's something that's going to become mutter. Why is it going to become mutter? Because we're going to see, we've referenced this in the past, but we're going to see it in the Gemara shortly, in the next few days, I think, that that really you're supposed to be matir neder. If you end up making a neder, you really should go and make a shelos chacham. So since you're supposed to be matir neder, it's really a davar sheyesh lo matirin, and the question would be, how does our Gemara deal with bittul? Like I said, if we have some time, we could come back and talk about some things relevant to it. One other thing, which is just relevant on this question of wine and nosin tam, is that we know during the 9 days, we don't drink wine. And so it's an interesting question, though, can you cook with wine? Can you put wine into a dish that you're going to eat in the 9 days? And the Shevet Levi says that if it has a discernible taste, if you're able to taste the wine, then you shouldn't do it. But the Tshuvas Van Hagas says that, you know, that's not what it means, wine. Wine means you should drink wine. If you have a recipe, a brisket or something that uses wine, he says you would be able to eat that even during the 9 days. You have a machlokas. Okay, you're right. I have to come up with something better. No, Shabbos you're allowed to have wine too. Good point. If you do white wine in your fish, how about that? Okay, so in any event, yes, that's a machlokas halacha. Okay, now the Gemara goes. The Gemara says, "V'raminu." Let me ask you a question. Okay, the Gemara says as follows, and what this is going on is the idea that we see that. Okay, well we're going on, and this is going to be a machlokas here, a machlokas about a question on Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi is the one that says that if another menachalav that you're usher in kum. So he says when you say something it includes things that are part of it or similar or come out of it. So he says they ask from the following question: Raminu mina adashim. If someone says that they're not going to be nana from adashim from lentils. Aser bashishim, that they're not allowed to have ashishim. We're going to talk about what ashishim is in a second. Rabbi Yossi mater, and Rabbi Yossi is mater it. So let's address the Ran first. The Ran understands ashishim to be, he explains, that the inan talfechi, that these are lentils, the magvilon umetagnon bedvash, that you mix them with honey and you fry them. So basically, lentils that are fried in honey, and the Gemara's kasha on Rabbi Yossi is that why, Rabbi Yossi, do you say that in the case of lentils that you fry with honey that it's that you're matir it because it's sufficiently dissimilar from lentils that you would do it, even though you call anards. So even though it's really the same thing and you just put some honey in it, that you say it's mutter, and the fact that you aser adashim does not aser ashishim, then why, if you say chalav, would you aser kum, which kum is more distant from milk than honey-fried lentils are from lentils. Obviously, honey-fried lentils are pretty similar to basic lentils. It's just that you put honey in them and fry them. So in other words, if those are mutter and you don't say that the category of lentils includes lentils when you fry them in honey, then why would you say the category of milk includes kum? That is the way the Ran understands it. The Mefarish, if you take a look, understands, he says that Balechem Shem Uruba Kemach Shal Adashim, that he's saying that what is Ashishim? Ashishim is bread that was made from lentil flour. So bread that was made from lentil flour. So the question he's saying is as follows, that when you say Mina Adashim is Aser Bashishim, that it's saying that if you say you're not going to have lentils, then you're Aser to have this lentil bread, but Rabbi Yehuda is matir it. And so I think that this definition in what are Ashishim has to do with something else, which is interesting. If you see that the Ran goes on to explain that this whole thing is really only a question, this is only a question according to Rabbi Yossi. Because according to the Rabbanon, he says as follows. The reason that the Rabbanon say that chalav doesn't include kum is because those are two different things. But he says, but lentils, at the end of the day, even though you fry them in honey, are still lentils. So according to Chachamim, it's clear why they aser with hashishim, but they're matar kum, because kum is something different, but hashishim is not something different. Avo de Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi kashav, because if here he says that it's mutter since it has honey in it, and that makes it different, then for sure kum should be different. So he's understanding it's a kasha on Rabbi Yossi, but not on the Rabbanon, because the Rabbanon would tell you it's two different things. But according to the Mefarish, as well as I believe Tosos, understands that it's a kasha on both the Rabbanon and Rabbi Yossi. Why? Because you can no longer say what the Ran says, that they're two totally different, that kum and chalav are two totally different things, but lentils and ashishim are really the same, because if you understand that ashishim is lentil bread made out of lentil flour, that's actually pretty different than lentils itself, and there would be some basis to ask both on the Rabbanon and Rabbi Yossi. But in any event, so whether you understand it as a kasha on Rabbi Yossi or on both of them, the question is, why, how do you explain the fact that in this case Rabbi Yossi is materit, and he does not include ashishim in adashim if he includes kum in chalav? So the Gemara says, lo kasha, they're not actually arguing in our Mishnah. Mar ki asrei, umar ki asrei. What they are each talking about is their own place. And as we learned, Nedarim halach achar lashon b'nei adam, that in case of Nedarim, you go after the way people describe something. So since there was a difference in Metzias in the place of Rabbi Yossi and the place of the Tanakama, how they described it. Ba'asar d'Rabbanan kara l'chavo chavo. In the place of the Rabbanan, they called chalav chalav, they called milk milk, ulakuma kuma, and they would call kum kum. Whereas Ba'asar d'Rabbi Yossi, in the place of Rabbi Yossi, lakuma nami kara l'kuma d'chavo. That they used to call kum, they used to call it kuma d'chavo. So since there was some parallel there, and there's some connection between them. So since in that place they called it that, so then if you said chalav, it included even kum. Now the Gemara, then now the Ran asks a question, and this gets into that point I told you before, that the Ran understands that Rabbi Yossi argues both in the case where he said chalav that it should include kum, and the case where he said kum that it should include chalav. So the question the Ran asks is, it makes sense that if chalav includes, because they used to call kum chalva, kuma de chalva, or they used to call it kuma de chalva, they used to call it that, so therefore you would say that's why when you say chalav, it includes kum. But if you're saying that Rabbi Yossi argues even to say that where you say kum, you should be asr and chalav, they don't call chalav chalva de kum, so in other words, if you say kum, you mean kum, you don't mean chalav. So how does it work? So the Ran says that once you say kuma de chalva, that you mix those words, kum and chalav, that those words become interchangeable. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yossi, that even if you say kum, it includes also chalav, because those words at some fashion in the place of Rabbi Yossi were connected words and therefore become somewhat interchangeable. Okay, the Gemara continues. Tanya, we learned in a braisa. Hanoder min achalav mutar b'kum. Someone says that they're aser in chalav, they're allowed to have kum. Min akum mutar b'chalav. If they say they can have kum, it's mutar to have chalav. Again, this is going like the Tanakama in our Mishnah. Minachalav, if he says he's not going to have milk, mutter begvina, he's allowed to have cheese, even though cheese is made out of milk. Minagvina, if he says he's not going to have cheese, mutter bechalav, he's allowed to have chalav. Minarotev, if he says he's not going to have gravy, and all of these were cases we dealt with before, mutter bekifa, he's allowed to have the little pieces of meat on the bottom. Minakipa, mutter berotav, if he says that he's aser in having kippah, he's allowed to have gravy. Im amar basar ze alai. This brice is going to become relevant also in a few minutes. But imam basar ze alai. What if he says this basar is upon me? Aser bo uberotvo ubekipo. That he's not allowed to have the meat. He's not allowed to have the gravy. He's not allowed to have the little pieces. And we learned this before that when you say ze, you're saying not just a category, but you're saying something specific. So it's no longer a question of nedarim halachah lashon bnei adam, but rather it's specifically this piece of meat. Another min hayayin. If someone says that they're usher to have wine, mutter betavshel sheyesh bo tam yayin, that they're allowed to have a dish that's cooked that has yayin, but amar kunim yayin ze shani toim. And again, the Ran doesn't have the gears of Zeh, but if he says konim yayin ze shani toim, this wine, or else it's the issue according to the Ran is shani toim, that he says that I taste. So since he uses the word taste, which is distinct from, for example, the case of Basar, where he says Basar ze alai, but he doesn't say anything about taste. Here he says shani toim v'nafal tocha tafshil, and then the wine falls into the tafshil in yesh bo tam yayin. If it's more than 1/60, if it's not bottle and it's nosin tam, then hareza aser. This is aser. Okay, so that's the end of this Gemara. Now, the Mishnah, and like I said, we're going to get back to that price in a minute for a kasha that the Ran has. The Mishnah goes on, Hanoder mina anavim, if someone makes a nether from grapes, mutter b'yayin, he's allowed to have wine. Mina zesim, if he says he's not going to have olives, mutter b'shemen, he's allowed to have oil. So even though the wine obviously comes out of the grapes, and the zesim come out, the shemen comes out of the zesim, the fact is that this is something different, and when someone made the nether, he meant to aser only the grapes or the olives, not the wine or the shemen. And we're going to see, really, in the Gemara, and there's a lot of discussion about, is it dafka by wine and oil, where it comes out and it's separate and has its own name, and is it different by wine and oil, because that's the reason, in many respects, you grow grapes or olives. So we'll see hopefully a little bit about that. But in any event, the basic halacha in the Mishnah is grapes does not include wine, olives do not include oil. Amar konam zesim v'anavim elu shani toim, or shani toim, aser behen uviyotze behen. That when it says konam zesim v'anavim elu shani toim, then both the zesim and the anavim are aser, and also anything that comes out of them. So the Gemara is going to deal with the question, and we're going to see it in a moment, that when it says, here you have, this is a really strong formula, because you say Elu, and you say Shani Toim. So before, we talked about both those as strong words, and here you have it. Here you have both of those words. One point to point out, that when it says, in the Sefer, it says ki yotze behen, uviyotze mehen, as opposed to in the Reisha, it says that the anavim is mutter b'yayin, zesim mutter b'shemen. So in the Sefer, couldn't have said that if he says konim zesim anavim elu sheni toim aser b'yayin u'b'shemen, aser b'anavim zesim b'yayin u'b'shemen, it could have said specifically. So they understand, the Mepharshim understand from this that there's really two types of things that come out of grapes or olives, which is when you actually press them, and also stuff that drips out. So when it says v'yotze mehen, when it uses that language as opposed to saying yayin or shemen, it's coming to tell you that it's even more chomer, that even something that would drip out by itself would also be aser. Okay, so we see grapes doesn't include wine, zesim doesn't include shemen, but if you say zesim anavim elu shani toyim, then it includes everything. Boy, Rami Bar Chama asks, elu davka o she'enu toyim davka? So the Ram points out that the Gemara starts, he says, vadai pshitul elu Rami Bar Chama, that Rami Bar Chama understands that for sure with one of these, it's good enough. Meaning, either the operative term here is elu, or the operative term is shani toim. But you wouldn't need both. So therefore, Rami Bar Chama asks, Elu dafka o shani toim dafka? Which one of these is the operative term that causes everything to be aser? So the Gemara asks, Isal kadaitach elu dafka shani toim lamali? He says, I understand. What makes you think What makes you think that if it says both, that you really only need one? In other words, if you're right that you only need Elu, and the Ram points out it could just as easily have said if you only need Shani Tayim, he's just asking. He says, if you need one, if one of them is Dafka, why mention the other one? So he says, Isakadaitach Elu Dafka, if you think, for example, Elu is Dafka, Shani Tayim Lamali, what do I need Shani Tayim? Why did you even have it in the Mishnah? So the Gemara answers, Hakamash Malan, the Afa Gav the Amr Shani Tayim, that even though he says Shani Tayim, Idamar Elu Mitzer. If he says Elu, it would be Aser, be Loi. If he wouldn't say Elu, the fact that he says Shani Tayim doesn't make a difference. And vice versa. If you say that Shani Tayim is Iker, then it would come to tell you that even if you said Elu, it makes no difference. And the key thing is whether you said Shani Tayim. So in any event, we're left with Rami Bar Chama's question as to what's included. Amar Rava. Rava says, Tashma, let's learn as follows on this question of whether Elu or Shani Tayim is the key operative word here. Konem peres Elu alai. So we learned this Mishnah. This Mishnah is really, we had it, it comes up a little bit later, but we referenced it earlier this week on Mem Zayin. So he says, Konem peres Elu alai. If someone says that to Konem these peres upon me, and so it's Ha'elu, Konem hein lefi, or he says they're aser to my mouth, or we said alfi, or alpi, we had different lashonos, but we learned aser bechilufeyem ubigidulehem. So we talked about this before, that when you said that konem peres ha'elu alai, we said it's similar to hekdesh, and just like hekdesh, that both something that you exchange it for, so if you have something that's hekdesh and you swap it out for something else, that hekdesh attaches to the thing you swapped it for. So that's why aser b'chilu feyem, and anything you swap it for, ubi giduleyan. Giduleyan is saying if you take, let's say, the seeds of those peros, and you grow new peros, that those peros will also be aser. So that's what the Braisa, that's what the Mishnah said. And the Gemara wants to learn from that, ha biyotze mehen mutter. So, but I should learn from there that something that comes out of it is mutter. So like, for example, if the peros you were dealing with were grapes, so you see that if you exchange the grapes or you take the grape seeds and grow other grapes, those are aser, but kiyotze mehem, but if you're talking about the wine that comes out of them, it's mutter. So how do we see that? So the Ran explains that he says that any time a Mishnah is there, it's going to tell you the item that's the biggest chiddush. And according to the way, I can't say I fully understand the Ram, but I'll tell you what he says. That he says that therefore, it, in the Gemara's Havamina right now, Yotze Mehen would be a bigger Chiddush than Chilufehen and Giduleihem. Why? Because he says as follows, that Chilufehen and the what you swap it for, or what grows out of it, in both cases, the fruit is still in existence. Either, and this is the part I don't understand, if you swap it, he's saying the fact that the fruit is still in existence, now granted you don't have it anymore, and the iser is no longer attached to it, but he's saying the fruit still exists. And the same thing, when you take grape seeds and you grow grapes, that you had grapes, and now you have more grapes that came out of it, but it's still grapes, and they're still in existence. Whereas, wine that comes out of a grape is a new thing. It didn't exist before, right? So therefore, it would be a bigger chiddush. So if you tell me that when you say konem peres alai, elu alai, that it includes even wine, so that would be a big chiddush. So then I would know chilufeyem, giduleyem, and yotze mehen. From the fact that it only told me chilufeyem and giduleyem, which are cases where the item still exists in some fashion, and it didn't tell me something that came out of it like wine, is a raya that wine would in fact be mutter. So what do you see? You see that elu is not as strong of a term, and it's only when you say shani toim that wine gets included, because you see elu didn't include yotze mehen. So if elu didn't include yotze mehen, it's clear in our case that elu is not the operative term, because elu doesn't include wine when you say grapes. So therefore, it must mean that shani toim is the operative term. That's what the Gemara wants to prove. So the Gemara says, no. He says, Hu adin dafilu biyotze mehen aser. So he's saying, no, you're wrong. It's not, if you were right that yotze mehen was the biggest chiddush, and the Mishnah didn't say it, so you would say you're right. You can prove that yotze mehen is not included. But I'm going to tell you that what you assumed that Yotze Mehen is the biggest chiddush is not. He says, actually, the bigger chiddush is chilufeyan, to tell you the exchange. Why is it exchanged? Why is exchange the biggest chiddush? This actually makes a little bit more sense to my mind, which is that when you take grapes and you plant the seeds and grapes grow, so those came out of the grapes. When you take wine and you squeeze the grapes and wine comes out, it's still connected. It's wine that came out of the grapes. But when you take the grapes and you change it for an iPad, those are fundamentally different things. They have no connection to one another. So that's a bigger chiddush to tell us chilufeyim. So if chilufeyim is the biggest chiddush, so then it's no raya that Yotze Mehen is not included. Yotze Mehen is less of a chiddush than chilufeyim, and therefore, it's not a raya that Elu is not the operative term, and maybe Elu could still be the operative term. So the Gemara answers that raya. So we say, okay, fine, let's try a different one. Tashma. So we're going to go continue. She'eni ochel, v'she'eni toyim. If he says she'eni ochel v'she'eni toyim, then mutter b'chalufein v'gidulayim. So this is coming to tell you, this is the other side of it, that it's saying, if you just say she'eni ochel v'she'eni toyim, you're allowed chilufein v'gidulayim. Ha hayotze mehen aser. So you see that Yotze Mehen should be aser. We'll explain how you see that in a minute. So therefore you would see that Shani Toim that Shani Toim does not include a Yotze Mehen, because because you see here that when you say Shani Ochem Shani Toim, that you're allowed Chilufein and Gedulein. Yotze Mehen aser. Why is that? Because we're saying as follows, that when you're talking about Heter, then the thing that is closest to it, the thing that is closer to it, is the bigger chiddush, right? So in other words, if you say something is included, that it does not include something that's very far from it, that's less of a chiddush than something that's very close to it. So now that we said that chilufein is a bigger chiddush because an iPad is more removed from grapes than wine, so if you say that when you say shani toim, shani ochel, it includes that chilufein is mutter, the implication is that only chilufein, which is pretty far removed because an iPad is very different than grapes, in that case it's mutter, but something that's more similar, like wine that comes out of grapes, so wine that comes out of grapes is more similar, and it doesn't say mutter, so it must be that wine that's more similar comes out is aser. So now you see that should be the Gemara says that should be the raya. So it says the Gemara says no, that's no raya either. I did the loynasiv bereisha yotze mehen loynasiv nami v'seifa yotze mehen. He's saying since the reisha wanted to bring a chiddush of chilufeyan, because chilufeyan we said is a bigger chiddush because it's far removed, and yet when you say Elu, it includes even the iPad, right? So since that was the chiddush of the reisha wasn't really talking about Yotze Mehen, wasn't talking about wine that comes out. So therefore, the seifa also wasn't talking about the wine that comes out. But Ein Achinami, if it was talking about wine that comes out, it could have said that even wine that comes out is mutter because it's included. Okay, so no raya to our question as whether Elu or Shani Toim is the operative term. So the Gemara tries to bring from somewhere else. Tashma, I'm Rav Yehuda. We learned in our Mishnah, Mice of Asur, Rav Tarfon, Olai, Beitzim, Shenishbash, Lu'imoy. Amru Lo, Emasai, Bizman Shamar Basa, Zeh Olai, Shanodim, and Adover, and Nisar, Ba'acher, V'yesh, Bobanos, and Tam, HaReza, Asur. So all of this is just quoting our Mishnah. So he says, Be'elu, so what do you see? You see from our Mishnah, that everyone agrees over here that when he says Basar Zeh Alai, right, that you say this thing, that not only does it include that includes everything that gets mixed within it, V'yesh Bo Benos In Tam Hareza Asar. So you see that Elu includes everything. So that should be a raya that Elu is the operative term. So the Gemara says Ein Achinami, you're right, but Elu Loi Kami Ba'ilan the Davkahu. You're right. Elu for sure works. So if you say Elu, that it would include even Yotze Mehen. If you said Perus Elu, for example, you said these grapes, it would include wine. If you said Zesim Elu, these Zesim, it would include Zesim. Ki mi Boilon. So when Rami Bar Chama was asking the question, which was dafka, what he really meant was b'shani toim dafka or lav dafka. That when it says shani toim, if you say shani toim on grapes, does it include wine or not? So it's only a question there, it's not a question by Elu. So the Gemara says, Tashma, come and learn from that which we learned yesterday. Dogim shani toim. If someone says that it's asr on him, dog or dogim. So we said, asr behen, ben gedolim, ben ketanim, ben chayim, ben mevushalim. We said yesterday that whether it's big or small, whether it's raw or cooked, umotar betaris trufa ubetzir. And we talked about the fact that it's mutar betaris trufa. Taris trufa was the chopped up fish. But the relevant thing here is the tzir. It says ubetzir. What tzir we talked about yesterday was the brine, which consisted of the shuman together with the innards, the kirvei adag, the innards of the fish. So tzir, where does tzir come from? Tzir comes out of the fish. So if you see that when you say dog shani toim, it seems that it includes something that comes out, because tzir, the brine, comes out of the fish. And yet you see that you're mutter. So it's a raya that shani toim does not include something that comes out of it, and therefore we should learn that when you have grapes, it does not include wine. Amarava, no, that's no raya, because when it said dog dogim and it talked about tzir, ukvar yatza mehen, when it said that tzir is mutter, was talking about before you made the nether, that the tzir was separate. So in other words, it's just saying generally, if you say that dog or dogim is asr on me, then the fact that you have a fish product, which is tzir, which came out before, tzir is different. But if you were to say dog dogim, and then you did something with the fish and the brine came out, that brine could very well be part of the fish and it would be covered by shani toim. So that's no raya to yayin, because when yayin, what the question we're asking ourselves is the following. If you say that you're noder mina hanovim, if you say that I'm not going to have hanov from these grapes, then you squeeze it. So then the question is where you're doing the squeezing, or where the liquid is coming out after it already has a nether. So it says there's no raya from dog dogim, because dog dogim was talking about seer that existed outside of the fish at the time you made the nether. So really we don't come up with an answer to this question of whether shani toim is dafka or not. And the Ran says, linyan halacha, he says for sure when you say elu, it's aser, because that's what our Gemara concluded, that Rami Rachama wasn't asking about elu. But he says, where he says shani toim, he says mesafkalam v'leifshita bayin, that it's a suffix and it wasn't answered. And kiven de'leifshita, since it wasn't answered, mashman de'naktin l'chumra, that as we always do besafik de'araiso, we go l'chumra, and therefore if someone says shani toim, we assume that it would include even wine or oil.